Today we look at Case for Creation, Part 5, and Genesis chapter 7. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 of every kind of clean animal, a male and female, and 2 of every kind of unclean animal, and also 7 of every kind of bird, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. In 7 days I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old. And Noah and his family entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Animals, birds, and of all creatures, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days the flood waters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst. The floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And on that very day, Noah and his family entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal, livestock, creature, and bird according to its kind. Pairs of all creatures came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female. Then the Lord shut him in. For 40 days the flood kept coming upon the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heaven were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Every living thing perished, birds, livestock, wild animals, creatures, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing that was on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men, animals, creatures, and the birds. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. In chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded." I've left out a few words and perhaps a verse in that passage from Genesis chapter 7 through chapter 8 and verse 1, but I trust this will give us a basis on which to look at the subject before us, which is survival and how to survive this present world. We're looking at a case for creation, which I believe is why God gave us the book of Genesis. It's very significant that he told us where we came from in the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible. And in the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, he tells us where mankind is headed, where we are going. And it's not too late to turn around. Noah's a great example of that. I want us to look at the life of Noah, and not just Noah, but those that were with him in the ark, because I believe likewise they exhibited extraordinary faith in entering that ark. And I want us to think about the lessons that there are for us in survival, how to survive this present world. The Bible says that there is a time of judgment yet to come. Jesus spoke of it when he said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man." That is, in the days when and before, right before and during the time that Christ will return to this earth. Well, this morning I want us to, first of all, review what we considered last week in Genesis chapter 6, what I would call survival 101A, and we looked at the life of Noah, how he, by his life of righteousness, by his faith, by his entering into the ark, the Bible says that he condemned a sinful world, because this world is going to be condemned. It has to be condemned, because God has to judge sin. And so this is the lesson of Noah, condemning a sinful world. We also are called to live righteous lives, to enter that ark of safety, which I believe is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing so, we condemn a sinful world. And then he conducted, Noah did, a faithful walk. He was faithful to God who called him. Now, it doesn't mean Noah was not a sinner. He was a sinner. But a sinner saved by grace. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so can we, if we will respond to God's voice and his word to us in faith, as Noah and his family did. Noah also, thirdly, completed a useful work. because it was a work of God. It was a work that God had instructed him to do. It was not just building the ark, though, and it was not just preaching. The Bible, the New Testament says he was a preacher of righteousness. And no doubt that ark gave him many occasions over the 100 years in which that ark was building, gave him many occasions to share what the meaning of that was, what the message that God had in instructing him to build that ark, how all who would, who were willing to, could enter that ark of safety. But only Noah and his family were saved. But he did save his family. His family came to faith, I believe, because of Noah's faithfulness. He completed a useful work. So take note of his survival, Noah's survival, and act accordingly, because judgment is coming. Readiness is needed. But this morning I want us to turn our attention to Genesis chapter 7 and what I would call survival 101B, this second part of the survival course, if you will, in which Noah is the prototype and ultimate survival. Genesis gives us the case for creation. And in that case is the record of the flood. This record stands between the unbelief of the modern age and the record of creation. How should we get ready to survive this ultimate disaster? The lesson of Noah can teach us that we can be, first of all, selected. The New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, it says that we have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. And you may ask, well, how can I make sure of my selection? The Bible says in that very same book of 2 Peter, the second epistle of Peter, rather, in verse 1 and verse 10, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall. Noah did not presume on the grace of God, but was righteous in his generation. The Bible says faith without works is dead. By works we demonstrate that we have faith, and certainly Noah is a great example of that. How, out of fear, he built an ark, the Bible says, for the saving of his family. And so must we. So must we trust in the promises of God, not a blind faith, because God has written his evidence all around us, the evidence of the truth of his word. And the fact that many prophecies, supreme of all the prophecy concerning Jesus and his resurrection from the grave, are testimonies of God's faithfulness and his trustworthiness to his word. And so Noah was selected because, first of all, he listened. He was selected by listening. We have a generation with a listening deficit, if not an actual hearing deficit. I'm told that we have hearing loss, maybe more so in our generation because the noises are so much higher. Decibels are higher. Jet planes and loud music and things like that can easily damage the hearing. But we're also selective hearers. We hear selectively. We hear what we want to hear. And that's why it's so important that we listen. Not just hear sounds, but that we listen with discernment. And we can learn that lesson from Noah, how he listened to God, how he learned. We can be selected by learning, as Noah learned. I'm sure there was a lot to learn about building that ark. Noah may have been a competent carpenter, and it would seem that he had skill that God had given him to build that ark. But I'm sure it was a great learning process over that 100 years, the Bible says, in which the ark was being built. How he learned to not just to follow God's instructions, which is very important. It's very important for a builder to follow a blueprint. If he begins to think, I can know better than the architect, then we're all in trouble. But Noah listened to God. He learned from God. And so must we. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And so may we learn. May we listen, first of all. May we learn. And then we can be selected by leaving, by listening, by learning, and by leaving. Have you got your reservation ready for that heavenly journey? The Bible says there's coming a time when all who hear the voice of the Son of God shall live. Jesus said, if you hear my voice and believe in my word, then you will have everlasting life. The Bible says that one day that we will hear the shout, the trumpet call of God saying, come up here. The Bible talks about the rapture when we will be caught up. We who love Jesus, who have listened to Him, who have learned from Him, who have trusted in Him and invited Him into our life, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Much like Noah, we will be lifted up above the judgment of God that will come upon the earth. The second lesson is from the life of Noah is that he was not only selected, he was saved. The ark is a picture of salvation through Christ. That book of 1 Peter that I alluded to earlier, there Peter speaks of the generation of Noah, which were sometime, he said, disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto baptism also saves us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, here is a provision of God. Think of that ark as certainly a place of safety, a place that God wanted many to come into that ark. I believe the reason why that ark was so big wasn't necessarily because the animal cargo was such a large cargo, but I believe that there was room for all who would come, all who would enter that ark, but only 8 were saved. And how Noah must have been disappointed, how his family must have been disappointed, because they had loved ones who were left behind, no doubt. But yet they looked forward. They were saved because they believed. They believed God's word through Noah, because God had impressed it upon their hearts that this was truth. This was His word. And so they obeyed. They were saved. The proof of their obedience, the proof of their faith was that they were lifted up above the flood upon the earth. And so there was a provision. There was a protection, certainly. I think that ark was the fact that Noah followed God's blueprint, did not make changes here and there because he thought he knew better. Because of that, they were kept safe in the storm, like no other storm that has ever been on this earth. Over a period of about a year, the Bible says, they were in the ark, saved from the cataclysm that came upon the earth. So there's protection in being saved. There's possession, or perfection rather, the perfection of salvation. Perfect picture here in the ark. What God does, He does forever. And we can be saved. We can be secure. Not only was Noah selected and saved, but he was secure. Do you think that Noah or any of his family doubted that they were saved? I don't think so. Now, they may have wanted to jump ship after spending a few weeks on that floating zoo, but they didn't. Peter said in John 6:68, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." So it gets back to who put them there and who shut the door, who sent the flood, and who provided the blueprint for their salvation. It was all God. So there was a cruise started. Now that cruise started certainly in earnest when the flood came, but they had made their choice. They had booked their tickets, as it were, Noah and his family. I'm sure they tried to persuade others to come with them on that ark, to believe God, to believe the truth of judgment, that sin has to be judged. I'm sure it grieved their hearts to see the wickedness of the earth, of humanity. But yet, it did not deter them from that cruise. And the Bible says one day, we are going to take a similar trip, a trip up, a trip out of the judgment that will fall upon the earth. Have you booked your cruise? Have you believed God? Have you trusted His word? Have you come into that ark of safety, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ? We can start that cruise today. You can. Invite Jesus into your heart. Trust Him as the captain of your salvation. He will not fail you or forsake you. And secondly, there was a course set. And that course was up. Up is life. Have you set your sight on things that are above? The Bible admonishes us to do that. Because this world and all that is in it is going to be one day burned up, the Bible says. Jesus is going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to look up. We need to trust the One who came from heaven to be our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and enter by faith that ark of safety, which is faith in Jesus. And so there was a course set. There was a completion scene in that secure, security. Noah believed God, like Abraham, like others that we read about in the pages of the Bible. They believed God, so God accounted it to them for righteousness. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. How God takes a sinner and he accounts them righteous before him, because not because of their lives, which are sinful, but because they have believed God. They have believed what God wrote in his word about Calvary and about the need to have our sins forgiven by trusting in a substitute, one who would die in our place, which Jesus did for us on the cross. Let me ask you, my friend, have you prepared? Have you prepared yourself for this ultimate journey? I'd rather be in the ark than be floating around in that judgment that came upon the earth in those days. I trust that you would come into that ark of safety. Trust Jesus as your Savior today. And you, like Noah, be selected, be saved, and be secure.